In 1961, I picked up a record, and a man on the record said, if you can tell me what you want, I can show you how to get it. And I thought, boy, if this guy knows what he's talking about, I really have my hands on something. He did know, and I did have my hands on something. Hello, this is Bob Proctor. The author of that record was Earl Nightingale. The record was The Strangest Secret. Earl Nightingale said success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. This is the second part of your puzzle, your own personal success puzzle. I'm going to ask you to go to page 19. Let's review this together. When you consider that success is dependent upon the progressive realization of a worthy ideal, it necessarily follows that the first thing you require to solve your personal puzzle is a worthy ideal. Now, common logic dictates you cannot progressively realize a worthy ideal if you do not have one. Now, this piece of your personal puzzle is absolutely vital to your success. And I could say it's the piece that most people never even find, let alone get it to fit. A worthy ideal represents the high-octane energy that fuels your mind and body to travel through those severe storms you know that you will encounter. It is the storms that strengthen you, that give you the mental muscle you require to keep on moving onward and upward. A worthy ideal is frequently referred to as a goal. Goals are great, and they play a necessary role in your life, but by comparison, a goal is really quite common. A new automobile, a trip abroad, or possibly a piece of furniture, or a new garment could come under the heading of a goal. A particular mark on a report card at school or a monthly sales target may also qualify as a goal. However, none of the aforementioned would ever qualify as a worthy ideal. Car and worthy ideal sound more like an oxymoron. They just do not fit. A goal lacks the prestige and significance of a worthy ideal. Would you trade your life for a car? Would you trade your life for a house? Would you trade your life for a new suit of clothes? Or for a trip? I don't think so. Well, that's what you're doing. Now think of this for a moment. The worthy ideal should be so marvelous that you willingly trade your life for it. I'm trading my life for what I'm doing. I know I am. It's a conscious choice. I'm going to do what I'm doing until I die because I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, a worthy ideal is charged with great spiritual value. It's a worthy ideal that inspires the soul to move on and upward to a greater awareness of the sheer beauty and abundance of life, real life, the life the architect of the universe created you for. It's a worthy ideal that will inspire you to keep on going regardless. It will cause you to develop a greater and a greater awareness until at long last you do become aware of your oneness with your Creator, which is the ultimate aim of all thinking people. The ignorance of our true nature is the primary cause of every problem in the world. Stop and think of the emotional appeal of the future promise that has helped religions maintain their balance for hundreds and thousands of years, every one of them. It's that you will one day be one with your God. You work to earn the right to sit on the right hand of. Well, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about becoming more and more aware of who we are and what we are. I'm quite certain if we just got a peek at our true potential, we would wander around absolutely stunned. We waste it. Take a look over on page 20. Here we're pointing out that you have awesome power. I have often felt that if you or I even got a glimpse at our true potential, we would wander around absolutely stunned in a daze at the awesome power that's locked up within us. I was speaking at a convention for a Fortune 500 company, and Steve Bowe was the vice president of sales. He stood up in front of a large audience, and he suggested that God's gift to you is more talent and ability than you will ever hope to use in your lifetime. Your gift to God is to develop as much of that talent and ability as you can in your lifetime. Do you know that there's no one alive who is even capable of guessing with any degree of accuracy at what you are capable of doing? There's genius wrapped up in every cell of your being. The most erudite scientist alive will not even guess at what you can do. You're an instrument of God, endowed with infinite capabilities and designed to do God's work. Now, you may say, well, what is God's work? God's work is creation. God's the creator, and you've been given creative abilities. Look at what Napoleon Hill said. A lot of people have read his works, but they miss this. An educated person is not necessarily one who has an abundance of general or specialized knowledge. An educated person is one who has so developed the faculties of their mind that they can acquire anything they want or its equivalent without violating the rights of others. Do you know, I spoke at a convention for 2,000 school teachers. I'm going back maybe 10 years. Not one out of 2,000 could tell me what the faculties of their mind were. Do you know? Do you? Because if you don't, odds are pretty good you're not developing them. Let me tell you a story. I was sitting in a fire hall in 1961 in Toronto. Best job I'd ever had. No real hope of things improving. I was not very happy. I was definitely not that healthy. I was earning $4,000 a year and I owed six. See, it would have taken 18 months of 100% of my pay just to break even. So I didn't even have a hope of getting out of debt. I was 26. The fire department was the best job I'd ever had. I only had 2 months high school and I had never had any business experience. And I was taught if you don't have experience, you can't win. And if you don't have an education, you can't win. Well, I was fortunate enough to meet a man that said, they're the reasons why you can't. Have you ever stopped to think of all the reasons why you can? And he got me looking at this. And the more I started to look at it, the more I started to realize, gee, maybe he's right. Do you know that some of the greatest industrialists that ever lived, some of the greatest creative minds have never seen the inside of a schoolroom? Do you know with 2 months high school, I have three times as much formal education as some big names that you know? And what possible experience could Edison have had with a light bulb? There were none. You see, the creation starts in our own mind. I like the way Mary Morrissey puts it. She says, everything in the world is created twice, once in your mind and once on the physical plane. Now, the faculties of the mind that Hill was making reference to were the creative faculties which separate you from all of the other little creatures in the world. Unfortunately, organized educational institutions do not teach us how to recognize and develop these faculties. However, to put your personal success puzzle together and enjoy the success you desire and is your birthright, the development of these higher faculties is essential. It's not just advised, it's essential. So flip over onto page 21. There they are. There's your intellectual factors, your imagination, your memory, perception, intuition, reason, will. Do you know the intuitive factor? Yes, truly one of the most magnificent that we've got, and yet we know least about it. Someone said the sound of God evolves through the law of vibration. Do you know it's your intuitive factor that picks up the vibration? It's your intuitive factor that picks up the feelings from other people. When you walk in the house and somebody says, what's wrong? You say nothing. They know something's wrong. The dog knows something's wrong. Their intuitive factor is picking up that energy. Do you know I could go walking by you and I could tell you all kinds of things about yourself? I have deliberately honed my intuitive factor up. It is very, very sensitive. I can read a person's energy like a book. I could tell you just walking by you whether you operate from the right or left hemisphere of your brain. You say, well, you couldn't do that. Well, there's a lot of people who see me do it. If you're ever around me, ask me to do it. I'll tell you what you're like. Everything that goes on in the inside shows on the outside. Our intuitive factor, we've got this marvelous mental faculty that picks up vibration. Everything in the universe vibrates. Nothing rests. A body in a coffin is moving. If it wasn't moving, how would it ever change to dust? See, the law of vibration decrees the whole universe is in a constant state of movement. We live in an ocean of motion. As the energy around you starts to change, or it's your intuitive factor that tells you that. Ask any real estate agent. They go out on a showing. They go into a new home that's just been listed. They pick up the vibration in that home. They'll tell you whether that place is going to sell fast or whether it's going to be on the market for a while. If somebody's lying to you, you know it. You feel it. That's your intuitive factor. Did you know you had this? Most people don't. Let's flip over and take a look at memory. Do you know there's no such thing as a bad memory? Everyone's got a perfect memory. Most people's memory's weak. It's not that it's bad, it's weak. Your memory and your imagination, your will, all of your intellectual factors strengthen by the same law the body does. If I put my right arm in a sling and I left it there, my right arm would pretty soon be rendered useless. Now, if at the same time I lift powerful weights with my left arm, I'd soon have very powerful muscles. You know that, so do I. Exercise strengthens the body. Well, it's exactly the same with the mind. The same law applies. There's not a law for the body and a law for the mind. Let's take a look at imagination. Do you know, as a little child, your imagination was in high gear? And as a matter of fact, your parents were probably delighted when you got your imagination into high gear, because you'd sit down with the top off a pot or something, and you would play with it, and you'd stare at it for the longest period of time. What were you doing with it? Well, no one knows, but you were using your imagination. And then we get to school, and they call that daydreaming. And they say we're not paying attention. And the lid's put on the imagination, and it starts to become dormant. Why do we have such large companies and such tiny creative departments? Everyone's creative. The idea that one person's more creative than another is absurd. One person may have developed their creative abilities to a greater degree than another, but we've all got exactly the same potential. I remember working with Harry Lorraine. We had about 3,000 people in the audience. I think he met almost every one of them coming in. He stood up at the front and told them all who they were. I could teach you how to memorize a book. How about perception? Well, your perception is your point of view. Your perception tells you what you see. Our perception is all messed up. We've got a perception problem when we look at our results and then compare it to our potential. We take a look at our results and we say, well, we just can't do it. You'll hear a person want to take a trip. They don't know how to make a decision. They have a perception problem. You got to get the perception straightened out before you're going to make the decision. Then you have reason. What is reason? Reason gives you the ability to think. Do you know that reason gives you the ability to take this non-physical energy, turn it into thoughts, and one thought after another, and then you weld them all together, and that builds an image or an idea? You and I have got the godlike ability to think. That's what makes us creative. Thinking is the highest function we're capable of. I remember Ken McFarland said that 2% of the people think, 3% think they think, and he said 95% would actually rather die than think. Do you think? Are you really thinking? Do you think about what you're doing? You say everybody thinks. Everybody does not think. All you have to do is stand back and watch the way some people are behaving. It's obvious they're not thinking or they'd never do what they're doing. Stand back and listen to the conversations. They'd never say what they're saying if they were thinking. Now, you and I think in pictures. We have the ability to hold one picture on the screen of our mind to the exclusion of all outside distractions. How do we do that? We do it with the will. How often do you hear a person wander around and say, I just don't have any willpower? Everyone has a perfect will. I have a statue of Napoleon just inside my front door, and I've got him there for two reasons. He reminds me of what I do and what I don't want to be like. I don't think he was a nice guy, but he was a powerful guy. He had things together. One of his biographers called him organized victory. Another one said he had immense capacity for sustained concentration. Do you see, it's the will that you develop the ability to concentrate with. This energy is flowing into your mind, and then it flows to and through you. The image directs it. Do you know that holding an image on the screen of your mind with your will is concentration? Concentration with the mind works very much like a magnifying glass with the sun. You can take and marshal that energy, and you can bring it to a white-hot bead. If someone's standing behind you and they're staring at you, you feel it. You know why? When you concentrate, you increase amplitude of vibration. Your energy's got more power with it. Oh, I would suggest that you start to review this, review it often. Sit down and ask yourself, am I using my imagination? Am I building the picture that I want to build? I was watching Michael Flattery being interviewed on television just last night. He's the guy that designed Lord of the Dance and Riverdance. And he was pointing out that when he was a little kid in school, he was always getting in trouble for dreaming. But he said he never quit. And what he's doing today is what he dreamed about then. This is the way it is with everyone. Ask yourself, are you using your memory? Are you remembering? Check your perception. I want you to be aware of what's in front of you. You're in a room or you're in a car. Take a look at what's in front of you. Don't turn your head sideways. Now, do you know that if someone else is in the room and they're facing you, their perception of what that room looked like is quite different than yours? We've got the ability to turn around and alter our perception at will. Oh, these intellectual factors are powerful. As you give thought to your intellectual factors, you're going to become aware that you've got a lot of power locked up in you. But that's only a fraction of what you've got. If you go to the top of page 22, we have here, in search of a worthy ideal. It's my opinion that you will not go after something really worthy of you if you don't understand what it is that you've got working for you. Now, Thomas Troward is without question, in my mind, one of the greatest authors that's lived in the past 400 or 500 years. He wrote a series of books. One of them was on the Dory Lectures. And this paragraph comes out of that book, and it's excellent. Now, this requires serious, serious thought. Here he's saying, my mind is a center of divine operation. The divine operation is always for expansion and fuller expression. This means the production of something beyond what's gone before, something entirely new, not included in my past experience, though proceeding out of my past experience by an orderly sequence of growth. Therefore, since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, it must operate in the same manner in me. Consequently, in my special world, of which I am a center, it will move forward to produce new conditions always in advance of any that's gone before. And you know, you could read that probably a dozen times and try and figure out what it was you were reading. You have to study this. I'll give you a reason. Here he's saying, my mind is a center of divine operation. Stop and think, if you're in an automobile, there's one center in that automobile. I want you to visualize yourself holding a basketball. There's one center in that basketball. In the city you're in, there's a center. I don't know how to find it, but I would imagine someone does. In every building, there's a center. And people have learned how to determine where the center of things are. But that has to do with outer measurements. Now, when you're talking about the mind, you're talking about infinite. That's no beginning, no end. Therefore, any point center, and that's what he's saying. My mind is a center, and so is yours. My mind is a center of divine operation. That means when you relate to the divine as the power, there's as much of it in front of you as there is behind. There's as much to your right as there is to the left. And then think of this. The divine operation works by law. We've already pointed that out. Everything moves in precise order. Our job is to figure out what these laws are and then learn to live in harmony with them. Now, he said the divine operation is always for expansion and fuller expression. So do you see, there's a basic law of life. It's create or disintegrate. Well, if you're working with the law, it's always create. It's never disintegrate. So when things are going the wrong way, we're responsible for it. We are in charge. We're moving it the wrong way. If we were working in harmony with the divine side of our nature, we'd always be moving in the right direction. It's always for expansion and fuller expression. And Troward says, this means the production of something beyond what has gone before. In other words, you're going to get results that are greater than you've ever gotten in the past. This isn't going to be included in your past experience. It's something that you've never done before. It's something brand new. That's what he's saying, something entirely new, not included in your past experience, though it's proceeding out of your past experience by an orderly sequence of growth. Well, you see, the order comes with the law. Well, let's just digress for a moment. What are one of the laws? One of the laws is cause and effect. What's that law state? The law states whatever you put out, you get back. Action, reaction are equal and opposite. Energy returns to its source of origination. Give and you'll receive. What are we programmed to do? We're programmed to go out and get. We're not programmed to go out and give at all. And yet we know that the person that gives the most service is the one that's going to get the greatest reward. So what we want to do, we want to shift our whole consciousness in harmony with the law. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. Now, Troward's saying, therefore, since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, Socrates referred to God as the unmovable mover. Do you see, the laws can never change. The laws are always the same. Everything always works one way. It's like the laws of the world. Anything heavier than air is attracted towards the center of the world. Water freezes at 32 degrees. It boils at 212, not 211 or 13, but at 212. Well, these laws always work the same way. Since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, it must operate in the same manner within me. Consequently, in my special world, of which I am a center, it will move forward to produce new conditions always in advance of any that's gone before. Now, let's take that and let's match that up with your intellectual factors. Here you have the power of God, of the universe, flowing to and through you that you can work with, and you've been given the faculties to do it. The very fact that you're hearing my voice right now should make you think. Give consideration to this. I have a little phone. It weighs 7 ounces. I can put it in a shirt pocket. I just hit 2 buttons, function and 8, and it doesn't ring. It vibrates. Somebody in Singapore could phone me and it would vibrate in my shirt pocket. I'd take it out and answer it, and there they would be. Do you think it's an accident that we've been able to do that? And that's nothing compared to what we're capable of doing. Von Braun said that the laws were so precise that we could send a person to the moon and time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. And when Kennedy asked him what it would take to do it, he said the will to do it. The will, there's one of your intellectual factors. In other words, the concentration, the focus on it. There's a quote here that I've put in. You don't have to slow down, you have to calm down. You see, everybody thinks we got to slow down, we're moving too fast. We haven't even started to pick up speed. What we've got to do is calm down. When you're calm, when you're relaxed, the energy flows freely through you. Why do you think people study yoga? They study yoga so that the energy will flow freely through them. They don't get more energy. Everybody's got all there is now. You learn how to release it. You learn how to make yourself into a better channel. Now, at the bottom of page 22, you'll see here my binding commitment. My means you. I'm going to ask you to make a written commitment that you will memorize Thomas Troward's quote and repeat it numerous times every day. Memorize this and keep repeating it. And then say, now, what did he mean? What's all this mean? I've got all this power. Look over on page 23. Identifying your worthy ideal. This is the part of puzzle where it becomes really tricky. Or it can become real tricky. Now, you've got to prepare yourself to proceed with the process of identifying your worthy ideal in spite of the thoughts and feelings you might experience. Some of the thoughts and feelings you will probably experience as you search for your worthy ideal have the potential to cause you to abandon the entire exercise. Do you see, other people will attempt to steal your dream. You must never let anybody steal your dream. You've got to be in a very relaxed state. You've got to let all the beautiful thoughts and all the dreams come to your consciousness. Realize this, if you can see it, you can do it. In the first part of the puzzle, we talked about how you and I are programmed. We are literally programmed. We have all these habits that we picked up that belong to other people. They've been passed down from one generation to the next. You know, it's absolutely amazing that we're doing as well as we are when you look at the truth of what's happening to us. Now, your old conditioning, or we could say your paradigm, is going to put up a vigorous mental battle. It does not want you to change. I always say there's two forces working against us as we go to move ahead in life. One's inside, one's outside. The one inside is the paradigm. The one outside is our environment. 96% of the population are going nowhere, and they're the people that we're running into all the time. As you go to develop or search for your worthy ideal, you're going to be employing your imagination and your intuition. Now, the improper use of these two higher faculties will definitely lead to an unfilled, boring existence. Trust me and just do as I suggest, and you're going to be richly and openly rewarded for your faith in this. When you sit and put yourself into a relaxed state and let your mind literally take off, what would you really love to do? Don't spend any time thinking of how you're going to do it. That's not even important. Don't let your present physical resources have anything to do with this. How would you love to spend your days? I love spending my days doing this kind of work. I really love waking people up out of a deep hypnotic trance that they're in. Now, before you begin your exercise of identifying your worthy ideal, it would be worthwhile to take the time to consider both words one at a time. Now, I've already mentioned the idea of worthy. When people go to sit down and arrive at their worthy ideal, they come up with a beautiful idea and then they ask, am I worthy of that? You see, we've got the wrong image of ourselves. We see ourselves as a little thing in a world of things. The truth is we're a creative center and we've got the whole universe. We've got all the power in the universe to work with. We've got all the knowledge in the universe to work with. Every bit of knowledge there ever was or ever will be is ours. It's right here, right now. What is worthy of me? I'm trading my life. What's worthy of you? What are you prepared to trade your life for? Put some thought in on this worthy idea. Now, look at what James Allen said. He said, until thought is linked with purpose, there's no intelligent accomplishment. In other words, we're just doing a lot of work. Now, flip over onto page 24. At the bottom of the page, Louis Brandeis said something that I love and I've quoted on numerous occasions. He said, there's a spark of idealism within every human being which can be fanned into flame and it'll bring extraordinary results. Look at the two illustrations here. Take a look at the little stick person at the bottom on the left. You'll see the heart in the subjective mind. The heart is the divine side of your nature. You've read in Scripture where it says, as a person thinketh in their heart. It didn't say as they think in their intellect, as they think in their conscious mind. It's as they think in their heart, yet in their subconscious mind, because whatever's impressed upon the subconscious is manifest and expressed with and through the body. Well, the heart is always for expansion and fuller expression. Go back to Troward's quote. He said, the divine operation is always for expansion and fuller expression. All right, now we're going to work with the divine side of your nature. So you sit down and let that side surge into your consciousness. Start to jot down some of the ideas that come to your mind. One idea leads to the next. I remember one time Earl Nightingale said that ideas were like slippery fish. And he said, if you don't gaff them with the point of a pencil, they'll probably get away and they won't come back. So as an idea flows into your consciousness, jot it down on paper. Now, you remember I quoted James Allen where he said, an ideal is an idea that you fall in love with. Love is resonance. It's harmony. When two people are in love, on a conscious level, their intellects have a rapport. In other words, they enjoy talking about the same idea. Heart to heart, they're in sync. Their feelings are in harmony. They resonate. Now, when your conscious and your subconscious is in harmony, it's expressed through the body, so they have a great physical relationship. That's when two people are in love. You can literally fall in love with an idea. How do you do that? Well, you have the same idea operating in your emotional mind as you have in your intellectual mind. That's when you're in love. Now, when you hit on the right idea, when you hit on the idea that you want to dedicate your life to, that is a worthy ideal. In other words, it's something that you'll trade your life for, and it's something that you love. I love what I'm doing. I've loved it now for 30-some years. I couldn't even imagine doing anything else. What do you love doing? And don't worry about the money. We say, well, I can't earn money doing it. That doesn't make any difference. You don't earn money from working. You get your satisfaction from your work. You earn money through multiple sources. Now, that's another program at another time. Right now, we want you to get this piece of your puzzle properly put together. Now, on page 25, your worthy ideal is actually your heart's desire. And you'll often hear people talking about their heart's desire. That's their heart's desire. Well, what is your heart's desire? The heart's the divine side of your nature. Follow your heart. Let your imagination fly. Don't spend 5 seconds or 1 ounce of energy thinking of how you're going to be, do, or have whatever it is that you come up with. How it's going to happen is not important, nor is it your responsibility. That's God's job. Your responsibility is to decide what you will move forward with. What are you going to go after? What's the target you're shooting at? Now, get this straight. It is not your part to guide or supervise the creative process. All you have to do with that is to retain your vision, stick to your purpose, and maintain your faith and gratitude. As you're doing this, your mind, your old paradigm is going to be playing with you. It's going to keep saying, well, how would you do it? Where would you get the money? Where would you get the help? Just ignore all that. Every time those thoughts come to your mind, just say, next, let the old paradigm. Don't let the paradigm control you. If you let your paradigm control you, you're never going to have any more than you've got. Way back in 1961, I changed my paradigm. My income went from $4,000 to $175,000 a year, and then it went over $1 million. I didn't even know what I had done. It took me 9 years to figure it out. I was what you call an unconscious competent. Now, you can still win if you're unconscious competent. The problem is when you start making mistakes, you don't know what to correct. Your problem is not how to do it. That's God's work. Your job is to figure out, what do I really want? What do I really want to dedicate my life to? Now, think about it. You've been endowed with all these magnificent faculties. If you just studied your body, it'll blow your mind. Do you know you've got an electrical system in your body that would make a supercomputer look like an absolute toy? Do you know that the blood circulates through hundreds of miles of passageway in your body every 33 seconds? It carries all the food in and all the garbage out in one sweeping change. Think of what you've got working for you. What are you going to do with it? Now, you work at this. You take time, you totally relax, and you keep letting the pictures come to your mind. And don't you be at all afraid to write it down. Be bold and be courageous, and write down what you want. And remember the words of Thomas Troward. They're at the bottom of page 25. The divine operation is always for expansion and fuller expression. What did he say? This means the production of something new, beyond what's gone before, not included in your past experience, though it's proceeding out of your past experience by an orderly sequence of growth. What's happened in the past doesn't matter. Do you know that everything that's happened in the past in your life has been absolutely essential to make you the person you are, to prepare you to do what you're going to do? You ought to be grateful for everything that's happened, all the good, all the bad, because it all strengthened you. It raised your level of consciousness to the point you're at right now, so that you can seriously entertain this work. This is a wonderful piece of the puzzle. It is the key piece to the puzzle, because nothing works without it. This is Bob Proctor. Thank you.